What do you want from a Thomas Cook holiday?
I want to chill out.
Ready for your massage, man?
I want adventure.
Want a great value late getaway this summer? With Thomas Cook, you can fly to beautiful sun-kissed destinations from over 20 airports around the UK. Visit your local Thomas Cook store today or go to thomascook.com. Conditions and credit card fees apply. Adult protected.
Wednesday, April 19th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Of course, we do talk sports every single week right here on the Daily Dose. We do it a little bit different. We try to bring some common sense to the world of sports, which, of course, we have found out is not very common at all. Now, if you would like to recommend the show, and we would love if you could do that for us, we are in a number of places. We are pretty much wherever podcasts are hosted. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to Podcast Republic, Google Play, Audio Boom. BlogTalkRadio.com has every episode that we have ever done. And, you know, if you want to recommend the show, but you don't actually feel like talking to someone, you know, you're sitting there at work in your cubicle, and you're like, well, I'd like to recommend the show. I like the Daily Dose. I appreciate the podcast. But I don't really feel like going over and actually talking to that guy next to me in sales. He's kind of a weirdo, but I mean, he might like the show. You know, you can just click that little share link on your podcast app. You can text it to him. You can email it to her, whoever it might be, and they can enjoy the podcast as well with just one simple click on your part. We would appreciate that so much. You can also head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. You will find new articles there every week. This week, we are discussing a little bit of the problem in the NBA with tanking. Might want to go over and check that out. Concerns the Brooklyn Nets. Going to be talking about them a little bit later in the show. But you might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check out that new article. And we do put a link to the podcast there every single week. Also, make sure that you do stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com. Of course, Rogue Intel is a family of podcasts. And they are bringing new podcasts over to Rogue all the time. You need to head over there and check them out. You're going to find some podcasts over there that you enjoy. You're going to get addicted to. You're going to want to listen to each and every week. You want to make sure that you head over to rogueintel.com. If you've got a question, maybe you have a comment, maybe you need some advice, hit us up. You can find us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. And you can also find us over on Twitter or Facebook at Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, you know, the NFL draft is coming pretty quickly. And is there a more important position in all of sports than the NFL quarterback? Probably not. I don't know what it would be. You know, this isn't the greatest draft crop for quarterbacks this year. And it's too bad because there are a couple of teams out there that are going to be looking for one. And I'm not talking about the ones that you might think are out there with. We know some of the ones that are looking for quarterbacks. They're looking for quarterbacks every single year. No. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about some of the big-time NFL franchises. Some of the contenders are going to be looking for a new quarterback this year. Talk about those. The NBA and NHL playoffs are underway. We will, of course, talk a little bit about those. And, of course, you have to make sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. But first, I did receive a Twitter message that I wanted to read to all of you. Want to talk about it just a little bit. Receive this from Dana F. on Twitter. Daily Dose, glad you are back from vacation. I enjoy the podcast. Can't believe you didn't mention the viral video of the guy getting dragged off the United flight, especially with you just recently traveling. Dana, thank you, first and foremost, for the question. I appreciate that. Okay. I try to avoid some of the stories like this, especially if they're really super popular and everybody's jumping on them. I try to avoid a lot of those stories. Here's the problem. These kind of stories break out all the time, but we don't understand the full story. We see like a 15-second video, and then everyone totally overreacts. We react like lunatics to seeing this video, but then the full story comes out, and we realize that the person that was involved in the 15-second video it wasn't exactly what we were led to believe. It's the same thing here. So a lot of times, a story will come out, and I won't mention it. I don't want to mention it, because I want to wait until the entire story. Let's get the entire story out before we react to it, and then we'll try to have a common sense reaction to the story. Kind of the same situation here. This guy was on a United flight, and United said that they needed some seats. The flight was overbooked, and so they asked a couple people to come off the flight. He didn't want to leave. They called the police. Police escorted him off the flight. He didn't particularly appreciate it. This guy is going to end up suing United for following their own policies. That's the bottom line, right? That is their policy. Like, when you buy your ticket, it says in the tiny little fine print down there, hey, and by the way, also, if this flight is overbooked, we do reserve the right to kick you off the flight. Now, you might not realize that's what it says when you buy the ticket, but it does. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people right now are talking about this guy has his rights, and he has a right to his seat, and here's the thing. And here's the thing that I guess we all have to kind of accept. You might not want to accept it, but we all have to kind of accept it. Here's the thing. When you fly, when you get on an airline, when you go to the airport, you don't have any rights. You have zero rights. Let me ask you a question. Where else do you go where you might have to take off your shoes and show proof of who you are and allow strangers to root through all of your personal belongings like raccoons? Nowhere. That doesn't happen, right? But when you're getting ready to get on an airplane, not only does it happen, it's expected. Like, we sit there and say, hey, what kind of shoes you got? Yeah, make sure you can get them off easy because you know they're going to take your shoes off. And hey, make sure you don't pack certain items in your luggage because you're not going to want them to see that. And you know, that kind of thing. We expect these kind of things. Is it a ridiculous practice of all of these airlines? We can act like United is the only one that does it, but I think we all know they all do it, right? It's kind of a ridiculous practice, but they overbook flights because 5% of flyers don't show up. They want to have a packed plane when they do take the plane because they don't want to waste any gas and waste any energy and waste the flight, right? Yes, they need to rethink that policy. Might want to kind of change some things up. Having said that, if I'm on a flight and they ask for volunteers to take a later flight, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to volunteer. I want to go where I'm getting ready to go. I don't want to volunteer. If they come on the plane and they say, excuse me, we need a few passengers to give up their seats because we are terribly overbooked and we need to get a few people from United to another location. And we would appreciate it if you would volunteer to give up your seat. Again, I'm going to put on my headphones and act like I don't hear a word. I didn't hear anything get said. However, if they get on the plane and they say, excuse me, Clint Daly, seat 28E, you are going to have to get out of your seat right now and we will get you on a later flight. Then I got news for you. I'm going to collect my stuff. I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk off the plane. And if the police are brought in to take people off the plane, I'm going to make sure I stay off the plane. Here's what I won't do. I won't run back on the plane only to have the police beat me for a few seconds around the face, chest, breast, neck, and head while making this horrible sound. You know, I've seen Bobby in Deliverance go out with more dignity than that. Ugh, terrible. You know, the biggest thing I worry about, honestly, with this whole story, this whole United story, the biggest thing I worry about is that this guy is now going to sue United. Despite the fact, I don't believe United ever laid a hand on him. The police did that. You can discuss that with the police, whatever. But he's going to sue. He's going to win. And anytime an airline asks someone to get off a flight, we're going to have somebody else trying to make a few bucks. Not good. Not good, people. Some bad, bad things coming down the road. You know, I told you a little bit on this subject. I just went to Mexico. And on my flight back from Mexico, we are in the airport in Cancun. Okay? Flying out at like noon, coming home. Gonna fly home, got a layover in Houston, and then coming back into Denver. I haven't eaten, got up early, got packed up the hotel, made sure the family was packed up, hit it, got out of there, went to the airport. Now we're getting kind of hungry, and we're getting ready to fly out. So we're sitting there looking around, and I'm like, you know what? We need to get something to eat. Walk over to the Wolfgang Puck's restaurant, grab a club sandwich, throw it in my bag, board the plane. Okay? You with me so far? Get on the plane and immediately fall asleep. It's not a real long flight to Houston. It's like, I don't know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, something like that. We land in Houston for the layover. We have to go through customs. As we're going through customs, I remember my sandwich. I didn't eat. I haven't eaten all day. Like, I'm starving. So I'm going to go through customs. I've got time to kill. We're just kind of standing around here. I'm going to go through customs and I'm going to eat. Here's the thing. As we're going through customs, the customs agent in Houston says, hey, excuse me, what's in that bag? Just my sandwich. Bought it, you know, back in Cancun. Was just going to eat it. What kind of sandwich? I don't know. Like a club sandwich? okay, sir, we're going to need you to go with us. I'm not kidding. We're going to need you to go with us. They take me back to a small room, start going through my luggage, and take my bag and start going through my sandwich.
The guy with the rubber glove was surprisingly gentle.
Now, the guy going through my stuff tells me, here's the deal. You're not allowed to bring pork into the United States from Mexico. My Turkey Club sandwich had a slice of bacon on it, which, to be completely honest, I probably wouldn't have eaten it anyways. Like, I like bacon, but I prefer it hot off the grill, not all soggy in a sandwich. So I probably wouldn't have ate it anyways. I would have just thrown it out. But they root through all my stuff. They take the sandwich. They confiscate my lunch. You know, I suppose at this point, as I look around, you know, the world, and I look at how things are kind of going, I suppose at this point, I should have lost my mind, thrown a fit, and threatened to sue, right? I have rights. I have a right to eat my lunch. Yeah, here's the thing. I don't have any rights, not when I'm flying. If the customs agent wants to take my sandwich, they are going to take my sandwich. If the customs agent wants to take my virginity, they can probably take that too. So instead of throwing a tantrum, I just did what they said. I was nice to the guy. He actually talked to me a little bit about, you know, different things that are allowed into different countries, and certain countries allow this and certain countries won't allow this. It delayed me maybe 5-10 minutes. I lost my sandwich. But again, sometimes in these situations, just act with some common sense and things will probably work out. You act like a spoiled brat that don't get your way. That's kind of what happens. Hey, tomorrow is 420.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
That's right, 420. Now, that might not mean much to you. Kind of depends on where you live. You know, some places, it's not quite as big. I'm here in Denver. It's not that big to me, but I'll be honest. Here in Denver, 420 is kind of like, I don't know, Halloween on Fire Island.
Hey, bud, let's party.
People get pretty into it, is what I'm saying. So here at the Daily Dose, we thought we would celebrate 420 by looking at a few people around the sports world that have got to be high in this week's segment called...
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
Okay, first off, the NHL. Look, we don't talk a whole lot of hockey here on the Daily Dose. And with pretty good reason. Like, the more hockey I talk, it seems like the less listeners I get. I don't know what the correlation is there, but whatever. However, with the Stanley Cup Finals rolling along, we probably need to talk a little bit of NHL, okay? I'll keep it brief. Let's talk about how high the NHL apparently is. Do you realize that we no longer seed the teams in the postseason 1-8? Nope, not anymore. There are 16 overall teams, 8 from the East and 8 from the West. Okay, so far so good. Staying with me? Not too bad. And then the top 3 teams in each division automatically qualify for the postseason. Okay, let's see. Top 3 teams, each division. Okay, that gives us 12 because there's 4 divisions. That gives us 12 of our 16 teams. The 4 remaining teams qualify as wild cards depending on how many points they've accumulated. It's starting to hurt my head a little bit. Okay, the bracket is broken up into 4 divisions. The 1 seed in each division faces the worst wild card in each side of the conference. Are you losing track? Because I am. So what we basically have, instead of just saying, let's just seed either 1-16, or let's keep them in conferences and seed 1-8, and then we'll play 1-8, 2-7. No. They had to separate it into divisions and get geography involved, and I don't understand it. It makes no sense, because some divisions are just naturally better than others. Think about it in the NFL. I don't want the AFC South getting any teams in the playoffs, let alone 2 or 3 or whatever it might be. Are you kidding me? It doesn't make any sense. Like, this has gone back to the world of college basketball back in the 50s, which is kind of ironic because it was mostly just a bunch of white guys playing back then too. The NHL has got to be high.
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
What about the Brooklyn Nets? You know, the Brooklyn Nets weren't in any sort of a playoff hunt in the NBA. So how did the Brooklyn Nets affect the playoffs? Pretty simple, because they must be high.
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
In their final regular season game against the Chicago Bulls, the Brooklyn Nets decided to rest their starters. Rest them for what? The season's over. You're the worst team in the NBA. You're not going to the playoffs. What are you resting for? Golf? This is like taking a vacation before you go on unemployment. This is just not what you do. So they allowed the Chicago Bulls to beat them, which knocked the Miami Heat out of the playoffs. Not that their starters would have won. I mean, their starters are terrible. I can't tell the difference between the starting Nets and the non-starting Nets and just the guys down at the rec center. I can't tell the difference. But why are you resting? Why aren't you playing? Doesn't make any sense. Some people, like I said, 420 is bigger to some people than it is to others. You probably heard about this one. Portland Trailblazers guard Damian Lillard said the Portland Trailblazers would beat the Golden State Warriors in the first round of the playoffs in just six games. Look at the set on this guy. Calling out the two-time defending Western Conference champions. You might have heard about this. I mean, it was on all the sports shows. They were talking about it on the First Take shows. First Take, First Fake, whatever. They were talking about all about this. Did you hear? Damian Lillard says they're going to take out the Golden State Warriors in six games. Man, that dude. Either he is like brass or he is, you know, out of his mind. One or the other. Well, here's the thing. You didn't actually hear in the soundbite what the question was that Damian Lillard was asked. Here was the question he was asked. Damian, do you think you'll beat the Warriors in six games or in seven? That was the question. It wasn't, Damian, do you think you'll win this series? It wasn't, Damian, what's your prediction? It was, will you beat the Warriors in six games or in seven games? What's he supposed to say? Well, I hate to correct your premise there, sir, but I feel like the Warriors will actually be the ones beating us, if you don't mind me saying so. Again, this is Kardashian news. There's no story here. Stop reporting it like it's a story. Damian Lillard wasn't going all Joe Namath on us. He was just trying to survive this stupid interview, so he gave an answer. Stop acting like this is breaking news. Yes, I'm talking to you, sports networks. You must be high.
Craig.
Sir.
Are you high?
The sports networks sometimes, I think, smoke a little bit more than they say they do. Do you realize this? Speaking of people that have to be high, do you realize that the city of St. Louis is suing the Rams for leaving St. Louis? No, seriously. The lawsuit accuses the NFL and the Rams of violating the league's relocation policies to avoid antitrust liability. They say the relocation was allowed when the team's viability in its home territory was not threatened, and that the league failed to require the Rams to work diligently to obtain and maintain a stadium facility. Hold on one second. What you are telling me in the lawsuit, you failed to make us run our franchise at an NFL level, and so as a result, we would like to sue you for not holding us to a higher standard. Seriously? Come on, man. Stop it. Now, I realize that the city of St. Louis is just looking for money. I understand that. But you know what I think would be awesome? Is if whatever court actually heard this case was like, hey, you know what? We're not going to reward any money. How about you just take the team back? Wait. Hold on. Let's not be so rash, Your Honor. We don't want that team back because we aren't capable of paying for the improvements to the stadium. We don't want that terrible team. No, keep the team in Los Angeles. We don't want it back. We just kind of wanted some money. If we got some money, then, you know, we'll take the money. Ridiculous. So stupid. St. Louis, you must be high.
Craig.
Sup?
Are you high?
Someone else who might be high. We've always kind of suspected this, haven't we? I'm starting to think that New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning might be high. He always kind of looks like he's high. You know, we've had Eli on the Daily Dose before. He sounded like he might have been high then, I guess. It seems that Eli Manning must have been a little bit high lately because he sent an email to a Giants equipment manager asking that two helmets be passed off as game used even though they hadn't been worn in a game. Now, that could be evidence of fraud because collectors are buying this stuff as authentic game-worn gear. Here's the thing. Eli Manning has a contract with a memorabilia dealer, and that dealer has now been accused by three different collectors of defrauding them by passing off stuff as game-worn that wasn't game-worn. Now, I don't know if Eli was purposely trying to scam people. Maybe he just doesn't like to give his stuff away. But here's the thing. If you sign the contract to provide game-worn stuff, then you have to provide authentic stuff because you're getting paid. Otherwise, I just kind of think Eli Manning might be high.
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
If that didn't convince you that Eli Manning might be high, I don't know, just watch his play on the field sometimes. You'll definitely think he's hitting the pipe. Okay, the New York Knicks have got to be high. The New York Knicks gave Phil Jackson a 2-year contract extension. You tell me there's not a little bit of pot going on back there? Come on. In 3 years as Knicks president, the New York Knicks have gone 76-157. They've actually gone from like laughingstock to just kind of just feel bad for you. Like they're not even fun to make fun of anymore. They're just horrible. They're just a total disaster. It's not even fun. Remember when people were like banging on head coach Mike Woodson? Remember those days? Remember when Mike Woodson was the coach? And we're like, oh, man, Mike Woodson, what is he doing? He's got Carmelo. He's got that mess. He's got J.R. Smith in them. They went like 109-79 during Woodson's time there. And we were like, oh, they're terrible. What's wrong with it? Yeah, those days are now what Knicks fans look back at as the good old days. Because now, not only are the Knicks winning way less, they are just a complete and utter train wreck. Jackson has made literally, not figuratively, literally one good move in his entire time there. He drafted Kristaps Porzingis. That's it. He doesn't work smart. Phil doesn't work hard either. He prefers not to travel much, so he doesn't go scout college games. He just watches games on TV. He's made a number of horrible, horrible personnel moves, including signing Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was a little bit better than I thought he'd be. He really was. He actually came out and played a little bit. He signed Joakim Noah. Everyone was saying, you know, Joakim Noah, his knees, he can't play anymore. Like, he's done. He doesn't have any cartilage left in his knees. He can't play. No, Phil went and signed him anyways. Now, recently, Phil Jackson has spoke about how the Knicks should probably be trying to move Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo doesn't really fit in here. He should be moved to somewhere where he gets a chance to win. At least he's being honest with us and saying what we can all see, what we're all thinking. Okay, but we also know he's kind of playing games because he's trying to see if he can get Melo to be thrown under the bus so that he can say, hey, Melo, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we'll try to take what we can get for you in a trade, but you're going to have to approve a trade. Remember, Carmelo Anthony has a no-trade clause in his contract. So he's kind of trying to put the onus on Melo. He certainly isn't helping any sort of a trade value for Carmelo, I can tell you that, by saying, yeah, he's not really the player we thought we were getting. He's not very good. So even in one of his better moments, Phil Jackson still doesn't seem like he's being all that business savvy. Now, I mean, to be fair, he has introduced yoga and meditation to the team. So, I mean, there's that. Now, look, we all know Phil smokes some weed. And probably drinks peyote regularly, like when he gets up every morning. But now, the Knicks are going to give him 2 more years to run this franchise even further into the ground? So who's the one who's actually stoned? I'm going to put that on the Knicks.
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
All right, our last one. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has got to be high. I haven't seen this dude since, remember, like 3 or 4 years ago when he came down on Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling. We haven't seen Adam Silver since. He has teams in his league obviously tanking. There are no repercussions whatsoever. He has teams with multiple players sitting out for prime time television matchups. Still no Adam Silver. There's a few different ways you can deal with those situations. You can put in stipulations to stop the tanking. We've talked about that on the Daily Dose before. It's not that hard. You can put in some incentives to make sure teams are actually trying. You can put in some punishments for teams that actually aren't trying. There's a number of things you can do there. And of course, you can also put a stop to players sitting out in big matchups when you're going to screw your fans and screw your sponsors. You could always just tell teams, hey, no more sitting more than one star. You can have one guy sitting out, but you can't have three guys, four guys, five guys sitting out. You can't do that. You could take money from the players that do sit out if you really wanted to. The Daily Dose is kind of in the business of helping people. Here's one real simple way to kind of eliminate some of this stuff. One of the really, really easy methods might be stop the practice of scheduling primetime TV matchups between teams that are on the second night of a back-to-back road trip. That might help a little bit, wouldn't it? I know. There we go. There goes the Daily Dose. Oh, here goes Clint on one of his tangents. Yeah, look at that. Kind of makes some sense, doesn't it? A little bit, maybe? I mean, you're just asking for trouble. They're on the second night of a back-to-back, and you're like, yeah, they're not going to play. I don't know why. Well, stop scheduling it that way. It's not that hard to put in a scheduling program that says, hey, on a back-to-back night, we don't want those kind of matchups. It's not going to work out that well. You're just asking for trouble. Yet, through all of this stuff, Adam Silver doesn't do anything. He's MIA. I haven't seen him, like I said, for like 3 or 4 years now. Kind of makes me think he's just sitting in his room, eating Funyuns, maybe watching some Cartoon Network.
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
All right, let's shift over to the NFL. Of course, longtime Pittsburgh Steelers chairman Dan Rooney died last week. He was 84 years of age. Dan was the son of longtime owner Art, who actually founded the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. You know, Dan was the guy that oversaw 6 NFL championships, and he was a part of the 1974 draft class when the Steelers had what might be the greatest draft class in NFL history. And Dan Rooney was a part of this. Check this draft class out. This was 1974. With their first round pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers selected USC wide receiver Lynn Swan. Okay, pretty good. Pretty good. With their second round pick, they chose a linebacker from Kent State. Not getting anything out of Kent State. Who are they picking? They picked Jack Lambert. That's pretty good. That's solid. In the fourth round, they grabbed a wide receiver from another small school. This guy was from Alabama A&M. Okay, they missed on that. They grabbed those first two guys, Swan and Lambert, but they missed on this guy. Who comes out of Alabama A&M? Oh yeah, John Stallworth. He was pretty good too. Then in the fifth round, Pittsburgh selected center from Wisconsin, Mike Webster. Same draft, all in 1974. That is 4 Hall of Famers, 1 draft. Of course, Dan Rooney was elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2000. You know, he was actually named U.S. Ambassador to Ireland back in 2009 by Barack Obama. Dan Rooney helped make the Steelers who they are as a franchise. He will be missed for sure in Pittsburgh. Of course, the Oakland Raiders are apparently getting close to signing running back Marshawn Lynch. And while I'm still not completely convinced he has that much in the tank, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of deal that he can get from Oakland. Don't forget, Marshawn Lynch is due at least $9 million. Hey, the Raiders have money. It's not a question of them having money. Just, do you want to spend it on that? I know they love the PR move of signing Marshawn Lynch. He's not always the easiest guy to deal with, though, and that could end up being a problem. Did you see last week that former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez was found not guilty of double homicide? Yes, we all heard it. We all heard the big news. Heard a number of people reacting, hey, Aaron Hernandez, is he getting out of prison? Is he going to be back with the Patriots? You know, I'll tell you what, if Touchdown Tommy gets Aaron Hernandez back, there's no reason to think they can't repeat again as Super Bowl champs. Slow down. Hit the brakes. That's not exactly how that's going to go. Doesn't mean that Hernandez is getting out of prison or that he's going back with the Patriots. Please don't forget, Hernandez is still serving a life sentence without parole for the 2013 murder of Odin Lloyd, for which he was found guilty in 2015. What I will say is what this does do, maybe, possibly, perhaps, it could lend a chance to Aaron Hernandez having any kind of a chance in an appeals case. Like, to put it in football terms, picture that the Patriots need like a 95-yard Hail Mary. Okay, they got the ball back. Before, they didn't even have the football. Winning this, they at least get the ball back. He didn't score a touchdown. They didn't win the game. None of that stuff. Because here's the problem. The evidence in the Odin Lloyd case was much, much stronger. Now, this double homicide case was a case where they say that Hernandez was like at a nightclub in Boston, and these two guys accidentally spilled a drink on him, And then Hernandez was accused of later, after they all left, pulling alongside them in a vehicle and firing his gun into the car, killing two people. He didn't know them. Kind of a tough situation to prove outside of just a he said, she said. There wasn't enough evidence. So this case, maybe he's found not guilty of. It won't be so easy to skate on the Lloyd murder. They have some hard evidence on that case. So slow down on Aaron Hernandez getting out of jail. That's not actually happening. He's not going to, you know, join the Patriots or do any of those things. That's not exactly how that's going. Although, to be honest, Bill Belichick probably, you know, would take him. Seems like that kind of a guy. You know the crazy thing about the whole Aaron Hernandez thing? These murders took place, and then he came back and, like, played a full season, signed that big contract. That is a sick, twisted mind that he was able to come back in. Anyways, let's move forward. The NFL draft is coming next week. Yes, we will be breaking that down pretty in-depth next week. You know, it's an interesting draft. The draft this year, it's not real top-heavy. There's no Andrew Luck or Cam Newtons or any of those big-name kind of quarterbacks. There's some pretty solid defenders coming out. There are some decent playmakers coming out. And there's a lot of depth in this draft, but there aren't any real great quarterbacks coming out in this class. It doesn't look like. And yet, there are still a few teams that actually I think are going to be taking a quarterback in this draft. And no, like I said, I'm not talking about those horrible teams that take like two or three quarterbacks every year. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about the Browns and the Bills and the Jets, and they draft a quarterback every single year. I'm talking about teams that already have a pretty decent quarterback, but they just may be picking up a quarterback this year and start grooming them to take over for the quarterback they already have. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Here are five teams I'm talking about. First team up. Okay, this one won't come as a huge surprise to you, but the Arizona Cardinals do need to get someone ready to take over for Carson Palmer. Palmer is 37, still playing at, I think, a better level than people think, but he did take a step back last season. Don't be surprised if Arizona takes a hard look at a few quarterbacks. Texas Tech quarterback Patrick Mahomes, Clemson's quarterback Deshaun Watson, and North Carolina quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. Whoever they draft, sorry Carson Palmer, I know this team has needs, and I know Carson Palmer probably still feels like he's the man, but at some point, Arizona's got to go get somebody that they think could eventually take the reins. Don't be surprised to see Arizona draft a quarterback. I've got four more teams that are going to take a quarterback. Yes, they have Kirk Cousins. But remember, he has that pesky franchise tag on him, and he says he won't sign a long-term contract with Washington, which puts the Redskins in a really bad place. Now, they can keep Kirk Cousins this season. The franchise tag allows them to keep Cousins this year, but then he can leave, and it sure looks like he's going to. And I expect him to end up being in San Francisco in 2 years to play for Kyle Shanahan, who he really liked playing with. Now, I'm not saying Washington uses maybe their top pick on a quarterback, but I could totally see them looking at someone like Cal quarterback Davis Webb in the third or fourth round. There are some scouts out there who believe Davis Webb could end up being the best quarterback in this draft. Don't be surprised to see Washington take a quarterback. I've got three more, and you might be surprised on these three. The New York Giants. No, this isn't to take over immediately for Eli Manning, who apparently is, I don't know, maybe a huge pothead.
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
But don't be surprised if the Giants use one of their mid-round picks to begin grooming the heir apparent to old Sling Blade.
Football kind of shaped like a banana.
No, he's not as bad as everyone says he is. Don't forget, Eli still threw 26 touchdowns last year, but he is 36 years old. And that Giants offensive line, it's not particularly good. So you better start getting someone ready, because I'm not sure anyone believes Ryan Nassib is the answer at quarterback for the Giants. Could the Giants take a look at someone like Tennessee quarterback Josh Dobbs? Possible. Be a guy they could develop, be a guy that's pretty athletic. Josh Dobbs could be a nice fit, and they could probably get him with a third or a fourth round pick. Now, our next team. A lot of people hate their quarterback. I don't hate on Alex Smith as much as some people do, but I can't even deny, dude is not all that productive of an NFL quarterback. You know, this past season, the Chiefs went 12-4. They made the playoffs. Alex Smith threw 15 touchdowns. That's the same amount of touchdowns that Brock Osweiler threw in Houston. That's one less touchdown than Colin Kaepernick threw in San Francisco. And that's eight less touchdowns than Blake Bortles threw for Jacksonville. So yes, the Chiefs can feel free to start looking at quarterbacks literally anytime. Now, I don't think they'll use a high pick. They have some other needs. And Alex Smith still has some years left. But Pitt quarterback Nathan Peterman, Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard could be on their draft board. Don't be surprised to see the Chiefs take a quarterback. Our final team that might take a quarterback, you might not expect them to, and this one might come as a bit of a surprise, but I'm telling you right now, do not be surprised if the Pittsburgh Steelers take a quarterback. I'll go one step further. I'll go a little bit further than that. They might take a quarterback early. They might not wait until the third or fourth or fifth round. Remember when Ben Roethlisberger was hinting at retirement last year? Yeah, because I'll tell you what, Steelers management sure does. And you know, they didn't think it was funny because Landry Jones and Zach Mettenberger don't really look like bona fide NFL starters. Could the Pittsburgh Steelers go quarterback in the first round? Could they take a look at Notre Dame's Deshaun Kizer or maybe Deshaun Watson? Don't be surprised if they do. Pittsburgh needs to get a quarterback. Hey, the NBA playoffs are here. We need to discuss them. Got a few different things to watch for. I've got a college hoop story worth hearing, and you've got to make sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. We will be right back.
What do you want from a Thomas Cook holiday?
I want to chill out.
Ready for your message, man?
I want adventure.
Want a great value late getaway this summer? With Thomas Cook, you can fly to beautiful sun-kissed destinations from over 20 airports around the UK. Visit your local Thomas Cook store today or go to thomascook.com. Conditions and credit card fees apply. Adult protected. What do you want from a Thomas Cook holiday?
I want to chill out.
Ready for your message, man?
I want adventure.
Want a great value late getaway this summer? With Thomas Cook, you can fly to beautiful sun-kissed destinations from over 20 airports around the UK. Visit your local Thomas Cook store today or go to thomascook.com. Conditions and credit card fees apply. Adult protected.
Table Reads, now part of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, this is Trevor and I'm here with Sean.
Hi.
And we're from Table Reads. Do you know what Table Reads is?
No.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is.
Even Sean doesn't know what it is and he created it. Well, Sean, if you had to guess, which clearly you do, what do you think Table Reads is?
I would think it's a show about a fat guy and a skinny guy reading some bad scripts that never got to be made into movies.
Experience the worst Hollywood has to offer with readings of the scripts you never wanted.
You know, the thing I love about you, Sean, ever since we were kids, is you're always good at guessing. You nailed it.
Yay!
Yay!
Table Reads. Every Tuesday, right here on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, or visit TableReadsPodcast.com.
Hi, guys. It's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at RogueIntel.com.
I say, boy. Every time I gotta go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to RogueIntel.com/Amazon. And I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon could buy. Look at that. He's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
I've got a story in college hoops that I want to touch on briefly. I was sent this story from Big Rob, longtime listener and contributor here to the Daily Dose. Thanks to Big Rob for sending this over. But there is a story coming out that you might have missed that I do think we need to discuss. There is a player, a high school basketball player from the state of Florida named Kevin Knox, 6'8 forward, 5-star prospect, been being recruited by a number of different schools. He's been recruited by Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, Florida State. He actually signed with Missouri and head coach Quanzo Martin. But that's not the story. as good of a class as Missouri is putting together, and they are putting together a pretty decent class, couple of All-Americans going in that class, don't be surprised to see Missouri getting really good here in the next few years. It's coming. That's not the big story. Here's the big story. A Chinese professional team offered Knox reportedly $1.4 million to skip college and come play over in China before going to the NBA. Come play for one season, $1.4 million, and then you can go back, get drafted in the NBA, do whatever you want. Remember, you have to be 1 year removed from high school before you can go to the NBA. Knox's father, Kevin, told the Tampa Bay Times, "We politely said thanks, but no thanks. We want him to go to college." Cool. No story here, right? Not so fast. See, this is going to start coming more and more. It's just a matter of time. We've already seen a player like Emmanuel Mudiay go play over in China. He signed a one-year, $1.2 million deal and then was drafted by the Denver Nuggets back in 2015. Here's the thing. If the NBA Players Association can't come to terms with the fact that you either need to let these kids go straight out of high school if they're capable, or they've got to go play college ball for 2 or 3 years, then we're going to see this happening more and more. Because if I'm one of these teams over in China or overseas, wherever, in Europe, whatever, and I say, hey, here's a kid we can get, pretty talented, he can come in here, he can play, yeah, it'll cost us like $1.4, $1.5 million, but we can get him for a year. And he'll be pretty popular because then we're going to bring up some attendance. We're going to get some people to come see our games because, hey, we've got this future NBA superstar playing for us right now. He hasn't even played in the NBA yet. We're giving you a preview of what's coming in the NBA. Now, Knox said no. Don't think people are going to keep saying no. Knox has a Lloyd's of London $1 million insurance plan in case he gets injured in his 1 year of college ball. But China is offering $1.4 million. I'm telling you. It's just a matter of time before we start seeing more and more of these talented high school players going to play overseas and then coming back to get drafted because the NBA Players Association can't figure out we probably should let these kids either come straight out of high school or they've got to go stay in college. It's not worth the risk if you're them. If I'm Knox or I'm any of these young players, wouldn't you rather just go play and take the money? I know I can get that money right now. Not later, not hopefully, not promised. I can get it right now. We're going to start seeing this more and more. We're going to start seeing these European and Asian countries come over and offer these young guys more and more money to go play. And we are going to start seeing more of these guys skipping college, going and playing over there, and then coming back. Brandon Jennings did this back in like 2008, and he was still drafted in the top 10 by the Milwaukee Bucks. It's coming. Thanks to Rob for sending us that story. That's interesting. That's going to be fun to keep an eye on because we are going to see this thing starting to change a little bit. The NBA Players Association better figure some things out. Hey, the NBA playoffs are finally here. Now, finally, the NBA truly gets interesting. So I wanted to play a little game today on the show. I wanted to play a game of what's more likely. We got 8 different playoff series going on around the NBA. In these playoff series, what are we more likely to see? I'll show you what I mean. What playoff series is more likely to go 7 games? Now, you might hear that and say, well, I mean, it's the playoffs. All these could go 7 games. Well, maybe in later rounds, but in the first rounds, we don't always see 7-game series. The first round is supposed to get rid of some of the bad teams. And so a lot of times, you will see some big mismatches in that first round. The 4-versus-5 series is usually the one to pick here, right? Those are the ones that are going 7. Yeah, they could. Washington versus Atlanta. I know Washington looked good in game 1, but I expect Atlanta to bounce back. The Clippers versus the Jazz. That could be a close one. That could definitely go 7. I'm going to go out on a limb here, though. I'm going to say a series that could go 7, I'm going to go the Toronto Raptors versus the Milwaukee Bucks in the 3-6 matchup. I think that one could go 7. The Milwaukee Bucks won game 1. We know that Toronto's kryptonite seems to be the postseason. Every time we see them rolling through the regular season and then they get to the postseason and all of a sudden it just all unravels and falls apart, and for whatever reason the Raptors just can't do anything in the postseason. So I'm going to say the series that is most likely to go 7 games is going to be Raptors versus Bucks. Let's keep an eye on that one. Okay, what series is most likely to see an upset?
I guess that one we just talked about would be pretty easy. You know, the easy answer also could be Chicago versus Boston after game one. I mean, I think Boston's going to bounce back, but if you were just watching that game, if you were watching Boston versus Chicago on Sunday, which team would you have said was the one seed? Which team would you have said was the eight seed? Chicago controlled that game the entire time. They were totally in control of that game from start to finish. Now, I do think Utah is going to give the Los Angeles Clippers all they want. I know they stole the first game, got a win on the road. I really think Utah can beat the Clippers. Rudy Gobert looks like he's going to be fine, but he didn't even play in game one. I just don't know if I see either one of these teams really pulling away from the other. So this one could be close, and I could totally see the Jazz knocking off the Clippers, especially if we see in the remainder of this series, if we see the Jazz continuing to score in the paint at will like they did, and they did it without Gobert, yeah, I could see an upset with the Jazz knocking off the Clippers, and I realize it's a 4-5, so would it be a huge upset? No. But the Clippers do have a home court advantage. The Clippers are probably on their last ride as this group together because they've got some free agency things to deal with afterward. I could see the Jazz pulling the upset and knocking them off. Okay, of all the series we have, which series is most likely to cause a big overreaction? Okay, this has to be Chicago beating Boston, right? Chicago knocks off Boston, 8-1. I'm going to give you one other option, though. Remember this. Remember that 7-game playoff series don't start until the road team wins a game. If the home team just wins every time, we're going 7 games. Now, in these game ones that we've seen, we saw some blowouts. The Warriors, they didn't blow out Portland, but they took care of Portland down the stretch. They handled them when they needed to. The Spurs whipped Memphis in their first game. And Houston kind of took Oklahoma City to the woodshed. But see, here's the thing in these playoff series. You don't get bonus points for blowouts. There are no bonus points. So you see that first game and you go, man, Memphis, I don't know how, but Memphis is like going to get beaten 3 games. San Antonio doesn't even need all 4 games. Yeah, slow down. Because see, those blowouts can be pretty deceiving. All the home team did was hold serve. They just did what they were supposed to. No bonus points for big wins. If the road team comes back and wins game 2, we'll forget all about that blowout. I think the biggest overreaction is some of the blowouts that we saw in game 1. Game 1 is simply the home team needs to hold serve. Game 2 could completely change the series, though. Okay, which series is most likely to feature cramps? Whew, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. That's kind of hard, isn't it? Now, Chicago is old. You got Dwayne Wade. You got Rajon Rondo. The Spurs are old. They've got Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili like popping Geritol between timeouts. Vince Carter is 40 years of age, still playing a lot of minutes, can still throw down a dunk. He's still playing for Memphis. Yeah, we could have cramps in any of those. Clippers have Paul Pierce. We've seen Paul Pierce taken off the floor in a wheelchair, so don't count out the Clippers on this whole thing. Ugh. Which one of these series will have cramps? That's tough. That's a tough one. You know what? You got to beat the King. You have to beat the King. If that Cavs series with Indiana, if it gets close, the Cavs kind of look like they're just sleepwalking, don't they? They don't even look like they care. I'm not sure what it is, but if that Cavs series gets it all tight with Indiana, LeBron is still the King of cramps. Don't ever forget that. I'm going to give Cleveland the head start on that one. Okay, which series is most likely to have some serious flopping going on? Ooh, that's another close one, isn't it? Because LeBron James makes soccer players cringe. They're like, oh man, you didn't even make that one look real, dude. There wasn't even anybody near you when you fell down. We have seen him flop literally after bumping into one of his own teammates. So Cleveland, Indiana, again, in the race. But I'm telling you right now, I've got a sneaky, sneaky team coming back on this. Celtics guard Marcus Smart is quickly becoming an NBA flop legend. So I'm going to go with Boston versus Chicago, but I think this is going to be a close one. I think it's going to come down to the finish. We can see some serious flopping going on in the NBA playoffs this year. Okay, which series is going to feature a major scoring battle? A few different ones out there. Saw Paul George and LeBron going at it the other day. Of course, we've got the Warriors and the Blazers. We've got a few different teams out there. I'm going to go, of course, with the easy one, though. I'm going to go with Oklahoma City versus Houston. We've got James Harden versus Russell Westbrook. We've got the two leading candidates for the MVP. Hey, folks, this is going to be Michael Jordan versus Dominique Wilkins-ish. These two are going to go back and forth. In game one, Harden and Westbrook combined for 59 points and 20 assists. I don't know how this series is going to go. I think Houston is going to take care of business. But I'm telling you right now, Oklahoma City versus Houston is must-see TV. That game was entertaining, even though it was a blowout. Keep an eye on that one. Okay? Which series is most likely to have a ton of threes being shot? Of course, the three-point shot, that is the NBA today. The NBA today is the three-point shot. So which series? Hey, Cleveland shoots a ton of threes. Indiana will put a few up. I guess that's in contention. But this has to be Golden State versus Portland. We know the Warriors have Steph, they have Klay, they have Kevin Durant. And now, I mean, even, you know, Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green can shoot threes a little bit. The Warriors average 31 three-point attempts per game. But don't forget about Portland. Now, granted, it's mostly two guys, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, but Alan Crabb will put some threes up. Portland actually attempts 28 threes per game. If you like long-range shooting, you need to be watching the Portland-Golden State matchup because they're going to combine for more attempts than any other series. I don't think that'll be close. Okay, which series is more likely to show us the next true superstar in the NBA? That one to me is not close. I am going with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks. Milwaukee Bucks freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know the name is brutal, but I'm telling you right now, NBA fans might be familiar with him. This guy looks like he's about to become a household name. Well, a household name, except that you can't really pronounce it. He's 6'11", and Antetokounmpo spends quite a bit of time playing point guard. He's a serious matchup problem, and the thing is, he's still learning the game. This kid is so long, he sees the floor, he handles the ball better than you think he does, he can score inside, he can drive on you, he can finish around the basket. If he develops any kind of a three-point shot, it's going to be almost unfair. But I'm telling you right now, watch the Milwaukee Bucks. You are seeing what is probably going to be a future superstar. It's coming, and it might be here. This might be his breakout year in the playoffs. Okay, which series is most likely to have some really bad blood? A few of those out there. I could see the Celtics and the Bulls racking up some technicals. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Indiana and Cleveland could get some things going. Portland and Golden State could talk some trash. I could see that. But the one to have the bad blood to me has to be, again, Oklahoma City and Houston. Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook do not like each other. You know, some of it is because Patrick Beverley gives Russell Westbrook problems. He can get under his skin a little bit, and he plays him pretty well. And don't forget, a few years back, Beverley clipped Westbrook's knee, knocked him out of a few games back then. This already started to get chippy in game one. We saw him and Westbrook going back and forth. We saw the Thunder put that big pick on Beverley in game one. Actually seemed like it fired up Beverley and the Rockets. It kind of got them going. Keep an eye on Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook. Could get chippy. This is some bad blood here. These two guys genuinely don't like each other, and I think that's going to be a fun series to watch. Okay, what series is most likely to show us the smartest defensive player in the NBA? Maybe not even the best, but the smartest. You know, San Antonio Spurs guard Kawhi Leonard, probably the best defensive player in the league. So he's definitely in contention here. You watch Kawhi Leonard, so quiet, so smooth. He kind of even lulls you to sleep a little bit. But he is so good perimeter-wise. He can pressure you. He can stop the drive. He's big enough that if you want to try to put a big guy against him and post him up, you're going to be in some trouble. He's very, very efficient at the way he moves. He's always in a good position. Kawhi Leonard definitely in contention here. But I'm telling you right now, Golden State, Draymond Green, dude has an extraordinary basketball IQ. Watch Draymond Green and forget the ball for just a second. Watch him defensively. Watch how he moves. He's always in the right position. I know it's from playing for Tom Izzo up at Michigan State. He just is always seeing the basketball. He makes so many plays just by being in the right spot. He reads opposing offenses really, really well. Yes, I realize Draymond can be obnoxious. He can be like as emotional as a teenage girl. Dude is such a smart defender. Just like I said, watch him for a few minutes off the ball. Ignore the ball for a minute and just watch where Draymond moves defensively. Really, really smart defensive player. Let's see. Most likely series in which we would see one player blow in another player's ear. Well, that has to be Indiana versus Cleveland, right? Lance Stephenson is back. He's back with Indiana. And, you know, since Lance Stephenson has come back to Indiana, Pacers are playing pretty decent ball down the stretch. He wouldn't do that again, though, would he? He might. He might blow in LeBron's ear again. We'll see. Most likely to see an underrated player that no one really likes, and we're not really sure why. I guess you could throw LeBron in there. Maybe. I think we all know why, though. I mean, there's a lot of people. We've even had top fives here why people don't like LeBron James. I don't think that's... who else? Let's see. Here's a guy who scores 13.5 points a game. He grabs 13 rebounds a game, and he's averaging 1.25 blocks per game. We can't stand him, though. But Atlanta Hawks big man Dwight Howard, is it because he hasn't won? I don't know what it is. Is it because he didn't like Kobe? Nobody likes Kobe. I don't know what it is. But we don't like him. And we usually ignore him. And honestly, Dwight Howard has had a pretty nice season this year. Down with the Atlanta Hawks. Kind of looked at him and said, yeah, but what are you going to do down in Atlanta? Atlanta's terrible. And then they got rid of Kyle Korver. And they're still playing, you know, in the playoffs. They're still right there. They're still in contention. I don't have much faith in them, but we sure do hate Dwight Howard, don't we? Not sure why that is. Okay, what series is going to let us see someone less athletic than us playing in the NBA? Who could be that unathletic? I'm trying to think of unathletic guys. Matthew Dellavedova, he doesn't strike me as that athletic. Anybody else? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Memphis Grizzlies big man Zach Randolph. You know, Zach Randolph has what we would call platinum card vertical jumping ability. Platinum card. Now, what that means, if you're not familiar with the term, is if he goes out and like he really like puts his mind to it and he just explodes up, if he jumps his highest, we might, just maybe, be able to slip a platinum credit card underneath his shoes when he jumps. But I mean, you got to do it fast. If you wait around, you're not getting that under. But somehow, again, Z-Bo averaging 14 points a game, 8 rebounds a game. It's just what he does. And I fully expect him to help Memphis at least win a game, maybe two, against the Spurs. So, yeah, Zach Randolph, probably less athletic than myself and most of the listeners to the Daily Dose. Yeah, no, that's true. Totally true. All right, let's see. Got a couple more here. In which series are we most likely to see a team actually lose their voice from complaining so much? Ooh, that's tough. Cavaliers will keep that close. Yeah, but you know what? I'm telling you right now, no one, and I mean no one, complains like the Los Angeles Clippers. And the thing is about the Clippers, it's not just one guy. It's not like you just say, well, yeah, Chris Paul, he's kind of a whiner. No, it's everybody. It's the franchise from head coach Doc Rivers to Chris Paul to Blake Griffin all the way down. It is just a franchise thing. Like, the Clippers' motto should be like, we whine, we complain, it's who we are. Hey, I'm telling you, this might be the last run for the Clippers. Chris Paul, don't be surprised to see him in a San Antonio uniform next year. Don't be surprised to see Doc Rivers pack up and go somewhere else either. J.J. Redick, yeah, he's going to be gone next year. Somebody's going to pay him a lot of money to go there. I don't know who it's going to be. But I have never seen a team complain as much as the Los Angeles Clippers. Last one. If you would like to see a Jet playing basketball, and I mean a Jet like an F-35 Lightning, watch that Washington-Atlanta series. Washington Wizards point guard, John Wall. Yeah, he's the fastest point guard in the NBA. Russell Westbrook's probably second. John Wall gets the ball up the court as fast as anyone I've ever seen, ever. John Wall goes and goes and goes, and he goes really, really fast. You want to see a Jet, watch Washington, Atlanta. Hey, just a quick reminder, make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose for any shopping that you need to do. Maybe you need to buy a present. maybe wanted to get something for someone for Easter. Maybe you forgot to do that whole thing. Hey, head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. You can get licensed collectible t-shirts, blankets, hats, comic books, bathrobes, pajamas, hoodies, you name it, they've got it. Loot Crate, of course, delivers the merchandise right to you, and they feature a number of different things: TV shows, movies, video games. This month's crate, of course, features items from Jessica Jones, Stranger Things, and The X-Files. You can always go back and order past crates if you saw something that maybe you missed and you wanted to go get. Best part about ordering is if you put Daily Dose in the coupon box, you'll get 10% off your order. And you know, the crates are only like 20 bucks. They're not that much. If you need to go buy a gift or you want to just buy something cool for yourself, head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, put Daily Dose in the coupon box, get 10% off your order. We will forward any money that we get to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund and help some kids get involved in sports. Okay, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. And you know, this week, you might not realize this, the Washington Capitals, of course, talked a little bit about the NHL earlier and their bizarre seeding process. The Washington Capitals are the best team in hockey this year. They have the best record. They're the top seed over in the East. But you know, Washington Capitals left wing Alex Ovechkin is one of the best players in the NHL. And you know what? He's played over 900 games, but he's never won a Stanley Cup. He's never really even been close. The Capitals have finished as the top seed 6 different times with Ovechkin on their roster. And the farthest they've ever been is the conference semifinals. Now, we could do an entire show on some of the best players that haven't won a championship. But what I thought we would do today is count down 5 players that never won a championship and participated in more games statistically than anyone else. So today, we look at the top 5 players that never won a championship, at least statistically. Like I said, we could probably do a full show about some of the best players to never win a ring. This one is just by the numbers. So who are the best players to never win? You know, last week, we saw Sergio Garcia get a big win in the Masters, won a major. But do you realize that Harry Cooper played 17 years on the PGA Tour? He logged 37 wins on the tour from 1923 to 1939. He finished in the top 10 19 different times, but he never won a major. He finished second 4 different times. He was twice at the U.S. Open, he finished second. Twice at the Masters, he finished second. He finished third at the 1925 PGA Championship. But you know what? He said he had like a mental block. He said he could never envision himself winning a major. And Harry Cooper never did win a major. He won the Canadian Open twice, but anytime it was one of those major events, couldn't get it done. Harry Cooper comes in at number 5 on our list. You know, we were talking about the NHL, talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs that are going right now. Jerome Iginla was drafted back in 1995 by the Dallas Stars. He was traded, of course, to the Calgary Flames prior to his rookie season. Actually, his rookie season, the Flames went to the finals, but they lost to Chicago. Iginla played 17 seasons with the Flames. He even took them to the Stanley Cup Finals again back in 2003-2004, but they lost that time to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Iginla, of course, has moved around since then. He left Calgary. He's played for Pittsburgh, Boston. He was here in Colorado. He's currently with the Los Angeles Kings. Of course, the Kings didn't make the playoffs. Jerome Iginla has scored over 600 goals. He has over 1,300 points, and he's played in over 1,500 games. He's 39 years of age now. Doesn't have a Stanley Cup championship. Never won it. Is he ever going to get one? He's run out of time. We'll see. Number 3 on our list. Of course, we all remember the mailman. He played in a ton of playoff games, but he never got the big one. Karl Malone played 19 seasons in the NBA. He scored nearly 37,000 points, grabbed almost 15,000 rebounds. You know, Karl Malone, you kind of forget about it. He actually played in the NBA Finals 3 different times, not twice. Remember, the Utah Jazz, of course, lost to the Bulls in 97 and then again in 98. But Karl Malone was also on that 2004 Los Angeles Lakers team that was favored to win in 2004. And then they got beat by Detroit. Karl Malone played in 193 NBA playoff games, never won a ring. Number 3 on our list. Moving on to number 2. Looking over at baseball on this one. Of course, longtime Texas Rangers first baseman and left fielder Rafael Palmeiro played 20 years in the majors. He was named to the All-Star team 4 times, won 3 gold gloves, He hit 569 home runs and had over 1,800 RBIs, but he never even played in a World Series. He played in 2,831 games in Major League Baseball. Never made it to a World Series. And of course, we kind of remember Palmeiro at the end of the career, extending his career and extending his hat size quite a bit with that anabolic steroids, even though he swore to Congress he never used them. Yeah, there were some receipts. There were some failed drug tests. Rafi, we kind of know you were doing something you shouldn't have been doing. One thing he didn't do, never made it to a World Series. Who could be number one on our list? We've got to shift over to the NFL. Yes, Morten Andersen, the Danish kicker, he played in 7 Pro Bowls, scored over 2,500 points. You might remember Morten Andersen playing with the New Orleans Saints, the Atlanta Falcons. He also played with the New York Giants and the Kansas City Chiefs. I kind of forgot that. And he played with the Minnesota Vikings, but Morten Andersen never won a Super Bowl. You might remember when he was in Atlanta. He made the winning kick to send the Falcons to their first Super Bowl ever by beating Gary Anderson and the Minnesota Vikings. But of course, the Falcons were beaten by the Denver Broncos in Super Bowl 33. Anderson, like I said, 7 Pro Bowls. He holds the record for most points scored, most field goals made, most field goals attempted, and yes, most games played. But he never got a ring. And you know, we do value that ring above everything else, don't we? I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of insane sometimes. We look at certain players, we say, well, you're not as good because you don't have as many rings. Unless we're talking about individual sports, I don't know that you can put it all on how many rings they have. But as we watch the NBA, as we watch the NHL playoffs right now, we are, as we do in sports, we are witnessing history. We see someone win, we see someone lose. And sometimes those that lose never get another chance. You always got to take advantage of the opportunities you get. Think of players like Dan Marino, went to the Super Bowl so early, never got back. So some of these players that we're seeing right now in the playoffs, better win while you can. You might not get back. Hey, next week on the show, of course, like I said, the NFL draft is coming. We are going to take a look at a few of the top players, and we might play a few draft games. We will be taking a look in at the NBA and NHL playoffs. Might have a very special guest join us next week, too. And of course, you have to make sure that you stick around and check out the Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, if you get a chance, please go to wherever it is that you download the show. Click that subscribe or follow button. We would appreciate that. If you follow us on Blog Talk Radio, of course, you will get the episodes a little bit quicker than everyone else. Feel free to contact us. Got a question? Got a comment? Maybe you disagree with a top five or whatever it might be? Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. And be sure to do any shopping that you might need to over at Loot Crate. Put Daily Dose in the coupon box. You'll get 10% off your order. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.